her.
Previously, in Aphonkis by Alice Dale, Philippa, still worried about her pilot son Craig in hospital, having difficulties with his speech due to the trauma of escaping from his burning Spitfire, now had a greater worry with the news of her husband's death. When they visited the hospital where Stan's body had been taken, her son-in-law, John, advised her not to see his mutilated body. Philippa went home to write to Craig with the sad news.
Through their letter writing, Pamela had developed a great liking for Craig's mother, who seemed like the same brave, indomitable woman as her own mother that she'd lost to cancer when Pamela was still a probationer. And she became more interested in Craig himself. Having achieved his acceptance of her, she gradually managed to encourage him to start walking outside the room, first with her and then on his own. Most of the patients had suffered their own traumas and understood only too well the difficulties of others. Many of them tried to help Craig. Sometimes it was just a cheerful hello or fancy a fag. The response was always the same, just a shake of the head and a quick move away. When no one could even get a polite no thanks, they knew to leave him alone, aware that he wasn't ready yet for conversation. No one took offence. So many of them had been through similar symptoms, scarred physically, mentally, or both. Pamela had been there when the bandages had finally come off for the last time, and she'd been glad he hadn't asked for a mirror. Then he'd started trying to talk to her, but always the stutter got in the way, and often mid-sentence he would swear or clam up, and his face would become angry with frustration. Plastic surgery had started, and Craig was suffering a lot of pain when Philippa's letter arrived. Pamela always enjoyed her letters, but not this one. It read,
"I'm addressing this to you, Pamela, and I'll leave it to your good judgment to decide how and when to break the following sad news to Craig. For all I know, this could be a crucial time in his recovery, and if you decide this news might set him back even a little, I'll understand if you choose to delay imparting it."
Pamela's heart sank, but she read on.
"Craig's father was killed in an air raid last night when running to rescue people in a bombed house. Apparently he was hit with a large piece of concrete and died instantly. Craig might want me to fill in the details. Is there a phone somewhere in the hospital that he could use? Not to make a call, just to receive one. Again, I will accept your judgment on whether that's a good idea. Do let me know when he has been told of his father's death and what his reaction was. Thank you again for the care you are giving my son, to say nothing of reading my letters to him and replying. There are no words sufficient to express my gratitude. With warmest regards, Philippa Stevens."
Pamela sat in the canteen reading the letter with its fateful news and admiring Philippa's succinct style of writing. The English teacher came through her letters. Now she was faced with a dilemma of how and when to break the news to Craig. She was holding the letter between both hands, her elbows on the table, but looking into space, when a voice with a soft Irish accent said, "Penny for them." It came from Nurse Anna Kelly.
"Oh, Anna, I've been landed with a bit of a problem."
"What kind of problem?" Anna was intelligent and friendly, and Pamela found herself unloading her situation, ending with,
"It's so difficult to know what's the best time to tell Craig. I feel he's suffering enough with the plastic surgery, but that won't finish for months. Would it be too late to tell him then?"
"Oh, sure. Now, you can't leave it for months. But you never know. While this news is another kind of pain, it might even take his mind off what he's going through. For a little while, at any rate."
"Thanks, Anna. You're right. I'll do it today. Oh, and another thing. His mother wants to phone him, but that might prove tricky."
"No, it won't. Just ask Dr. Roberts if she can phone his number."
"Seems a bit cheeky."
"He won't mind. He fancies you." And Anna winked.
"He's not the problem. It's whether Craig could handle a phone conversation. Or he might stutter, and he gets angry when he stutters, and he's liable to swear or hang up. That'd hurt his mother's feelings."
"I see what you mean. Especially since his mother might be quite emotional right now."
"Oh, yes, indeed. But she's an intelligent woman. She'll understand if I explain why it's not a good idea, so I may as well get on with it."
Craig always managed an expletive quite clearly when he wanted to, and without the bandages, his mouth had become a little more flexible. "Oh, my God, my poor mother. First me, and now her husband." Always acutely aware of people's feelings, Pamela couldn't help noticing he didn't say "Dad" or "my father," just referred to "her husband." She also noticed there were no tears, unlike when his mother had visited. Now she felt sure he was going to cope with the bad news, and certain she hadn't mistimed it. That relaxed her about replying to Philippa. Gripping a pen was still too difficult for Craig, with the skin on his hands being so tight, in spite of all the creams and liniments she was smoothing in daily. On one such occasion, he said, "Have you come to hold hands with me again? You're getting a bit too familiar, nurse." Then he gave his gravelly laugh, reminding her that his esophagus was still recovering from the burning. But Pamela was delighted with another two complete sentences and his first sign of joviality, and she joined in laughing, far more heartily than he did. During his plastic surgery was no time to help him with his speech impediment. However, his surgeon decided to give him a break from operations, and Pamela thought that would be the ideal time to help his speech defect, if she could get permission to treat him. She had been studying the new discipline of speech therapy for some time, with no chance of using her newfound knowledge. She sat rereading Craig's file, all of which she almost knew by heart.
"Craig Stanley Stebbings, date of birth 29th of August 1921, shot down over Channel 1940, severe burns to arms, chest, esophagus and lower face, is suffering total loss of speech."
She didn't need to read about his treatments. She'd been involved in all of them. But that last sentence jumped off the page like a challenge, and aware how much the impediment was holding him back socially, Pamela didn't waste a moment. She tucked the thin file under her arm and made her way to the chief surgeon's office. By sheer luck, Jack Roberts had just returned from theatre after an all-night session. He was tilted back in his chair, feet up on the desk, nursing a cup of coffee, and she noticed the empty whisky glass and half-empty bottle beside his feet. Normally, Jack Roberts would have welcomed this nurse with her beautiful face and figure, and knowing her efficiency in theatre. But Jack hadn't been to bed, operating non-stop all night on remaining survivors of the Dunkirk evacuation. His faint smile was tired rather than friendly, and his expression said, "Why can't I get a moment's peace?"
"I'm really sorry to disturb you, sir. I know you've been in surgery all night. You must be dead beat."
He nodded slowly.
"But I won't keep you a moment."
As briefly as she could, she explained her interest in speech therapy. Then she produced Craig's file.
"He hasn't lost his speech totally. He's improving. I'm sure I could help this young man."
Jack put his feet down and slowly took the file from her. His eyes were fluttering, and she wondered if he could even see it properly.
A Fond Kiss is by Alice Dale and produced for radio by Capital Radio Productions. Thank you.